Button. Good opening segment here on Birds 365. I want to pivot a little bit here and start to look a little bit at the NFL draft. Before we do that, I want to take a look at the general manager who will be making a pick or making the picks in the NFL draft, who will be negotiating the deals or at least be the forefront of negotiating the deals in free agency. John, Howie Roseman, how do you think he's been the last year? You know, coming off the Super Bowl, everybody had him as the greatest GM, maybe to ever exist in the history of all pro sports. I don't know if that was a little bit far-fetched. I do think he's a great general manager. How about the last year? How much do you think Howie Roseman has to do with the Eagles coming up short in the last season?
I think he's the best GM in the NFL. I thought that coming into last offseason. I thought that coming out of last offseason. I think that today, I think he's the best GM in the NFL. Now, John Snyder's going to get a bunch of love, should come this week. And there's guys in the conversation. Les Snead obviously would be in the conversation, but very small list. And I think he's at the top of it. I don't think that changes. Look, he told you what they were doing last year. He was above board. You know, I think everybody, well, he didn't sign anybody. He told you why he didn't sign anybody. You know, so I think for those people, it's difficult to understand. You know, nobody had spent more cash over the past decade than the Philadelphia Eagles, and they had to sort of reset the copper, so to speak, for what's coming on the defensive side of the football. You know, we talk about that draft success. Didn't materialize as much this season, this past season, not because Jahan Campbell was playing great. Just circumstance, and Nakobe came back and was healthy, and Vic trusted him. And I thought Drew Macuba was playing well as a rookie, 64th overall pick. I thought he was going in a very positive direction. So, you know, I consider those two, the first two picks, even though you're picking really late, they moved up from 32 to 31 to get Jihad, but they were trying to move up to, I think it was 22, as high as 22 to get him. And then, as I said, last pick in the second round, you get Drew Macuba. I think that's pretty good. Now, after that, not much. But, I mean, look, we go through this every year. We went through it the year prior. I always remember the fifth-round pick year with Anaya Smith and Trevor Keegan and Trott.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, guys. You can't expect day three picks to just be immediate difference makers. It doesn't work that way. And so all the Ty Robinsons and Mac McWilliams and Smile Mundins, Drew Kendall, they had a bunch of picks, Kyle McCord, Miles Hinton, Cam Williams, Antoine Powell Ryland. Kyle's gone, so you know, but he's a sixth round pick. It's the 181st pick in the draft. Powell Ryland's the 209th pick in the draft. You know, I would have liked to have seen more from Ty Robinson. I think that's fair. I would have liked to have seen more from Mac McWilliams. I think that's fair. I thought Smile did a nice job in his role, and I think the offensive linemen are worthwhile swings, all three of them. So, yeah, I don't look at last year as a failure from Howie Roseman's perspective. Understanding that what he was trying to accomplish, which, you know, I think people are going to leave that out, that you might not like it, but you should like it when they're able to re-sign Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis and Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean down the road.
Yeah, it's fair. It's a good way to look at it. It's kind of how I see it too as well, John. I don't think I don't think he had a great year, but I think you nailed it where you talk about what the expectation was. And I just don't think the personnel was problem number one on this team this year. I know you and I have disagreed to some extent on that where, you know, maybe I'm overrating the players, but I really don't look at the way the team didn't didn't, you know, reach expectations this year as a personnel issue. I really didn't, but I'll just run it back for everybody. John, tell me if I missed anybody. I think I got this pretty comprehensively. All right. So who left last year? Milton left, Sweat left, Slace left, Bradbury, that didn't matter. CJ Gardner-Johnson left, Isaiah Rogers left, Mekhi Becton left, Oren Burks left, and Kenny Pickett left. All right, that's who departed the team post-Super Bowl last year. Then who you brought in? Josh Uche. These are the team who signs. We'll rattle them all off for you. Josh Uche, Aziz Ojulari, Patrick Johnson, Adoree Jackson, A.J. Dillon, Harrison Bryant and Kylan Granson, Kendall Lamb and Matt Pryor, Avery Williams, and Kenyon Green. And then your draft, first-round pick, Jahad Campbell, second-round pick, Andrew Mukuba, fourth-round pick, Ty Robinson, fifth-round pick, Mac McWilliams, fifth-round pick again, Smile Munden, sixth-round pick, Miles Hinton, and I think there was a couple more in there I'm leaving out on the round seven. And then the midseason moves that were made was Jalen Phillips, obviously the big move, Michael Carter, Jair Alexander, Za'Darius Smith, who two of those guys walked out of here. So that's kind of your look at all the moves, John. It did feel like a lot of moves for not a lot of value or not a lot of production. But maybe that's what was necessary last year. I just wanted to take a look at kind of the what Howie did last year and if that's considered a down year for him too. You know, we talk about the players a lot.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you don't add in the context, yeah, I guess it would be considered a bad year, because if you're just pretending like, well, you're signing a bunch of one-year guys because you're trying to reset and the one-year guys didn't hit. And, you know, people talk themselves, look, how many times we hear in the offseason coming into the season, we got our big Harrison Bryant fan, we got, you know, Aziz Ojulari is going to be a difference maker. Look, contracts tell you a lot. They don't tell you everything, but they tell you a lot. And if guys are signing for 1 year at the veteran minimum, or the most expensive player was Ojulari, who didn't work out at all. And I think he got $3 million, somewhere in that range. Not a lot. I mean, as Bick said, you get what you pay for. You go to Nordstrom's, you get something nice.
Yeah, right.
You get Jalen Phillips.
Yep.
You go to the Walmart clearance aisle. Maybe you find something every once in a while. I'm a Yankees fan. I found a nice Mickey Mantle print in the Walmart clearance aisle once. It's really nice.
There you go, John.
I spent like $5 on it. Every once in a while, you get a hit. But vast majority, you got a bunch of nothing.
Right.
And look, I don't want to over. I thought Josh Uche played very well early in the season, and then they shipped it off and kind of screwed him. But I mean, that's the life of the NFL player. You know, guys were coming back, and they traded for Jalen Phillips, and they convinced BG to come back, and he there's not a spot for him. That's what happens. A.J. Dillon, a lot of people were hyped about him. Nothing. Harrison Bryant didn't even make it to the season, but did a decent job in Houston as a playoff team.
Suffering from seasonal irritants? As the pollen count rises, support your immune system with Quiksilver Scientific Cystaid, a targeted blend of nutrients and botanicals designed to help maintain healthy histamine balance and everyday comfort. Quiksilver Scientific Cystaid works with your body's natural response to seasonal environmental challenges, so you can feel your best all season long. Get 10% off and free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. Again, that's tryqs.com/podcast for 10% off and free shipping. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Adoree, I said, played pretty well. Patrick Johnson, a good special teams player. Avery Williams did nothing. There was a lot of hype about him as the manufactured touch guy. The returner didn't even make the team. Kylan Granson, okay, did a good job on special teams. Ojulari didn't play much. Kendall Lamb didn't make it to the season. Matt Pryor didn't do a great job as a backup when he had the opportunity, which was a little bit disappointing considering the year he was coming off of in Chicago. Oboe, I don't know if you mentioned him, but he got hurt. But I mean, I would say temper your expectations this year if you get some 1 year guys. And yeah, everybody does. You get 1 year guys and temper your expectations on those guys. That would be my moral of that story.
Well, I think part of the broken thought process, which I'm pretty sure you would learn it to us too at the time, was how good Zach Bond was. Remember?
Yeah.
So everybody's
he's the Mickey Mantle print in the Walmart.
Exactly right. He's the Mickey. You know, you keep coming back, John. You keep going back to Walmart, and you walk in with this small sliver of optimism. Hey, maybe I'll get lucky again. But. Years have gone by, John, and you still haven't gotten lucky like you did that day with the Mickey Mantle print. But it's enough to keep you coming back just in case you can find another diamond in the rough.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what you're shooting for. And they did that purposefully, though. So I think that part is missed. They wanted to reset and, you know, because paying guys cash up front is a lot of what has made this team successful, and they know they're going to have to do it with some big time talent. So that's where we are, and that's what happened. And, you know, I get it from a fan perspective. They want to go hell or high water to win every year, but it's just not realistic.
Yeah, no, I didn't bring this up to rip Howie. I just wanted to look at the year and think, get a gauge. Like, how much do you think the personnel situation they were in, even if you think Howie, you know, did what he could with him.
Well, personnel.
Do you think it impacted, though, like, or was a part of the results of the season?
To me, the issue and where we differ on personnel is you had a bunch of guys with big reputations that didn't play up to those reputations.
Right. That's a bigger problem than acquisition.
Specifically on the offensive side of the ball. You know, if you can somehow replicate Saquon Barkley, I'm probably out in Northern California, you know, again, not, you know, you get the point, for the Super Bowl, not that it was in Northern California last year, but, you know, if you can replicate that offensive line performance, I'm probably talking to you from San Francisco right now.
Yeah, right.
If AJ plays like AJ typically does, you know, it's just a bunch of guys. I talked about it. Everybody took it down tick. Now, different reasons, right? Offensive line, Lane wasn't healthy, didn't play the last 8 games. Obviously, didn't have the same season. Cam had the back surgery, struggled coming off it, especially early in the season, not the same player. Landon, multiple injuries, not the same player. Jordan Mailata, I think, still played well, but he might have been, according to PFF, he was the best player in football in the 2024 season. He didn't live up to that standard. Again, not a drastic fall off. Tyler Steen was okay as a first-time starter. I don't think he was as good as Mekhi Becton, who, by the way, was terrible with the Chargers. So it's not like bringing him back would have been the right decision either, necessarily. Dallas Goedert, I realize people are going to look at, well, he had all those touchdowns. Yeah, he did, but he also had a big, big drop-off from his typical level when it comes to the blocking game. And what's more important for this team than the running game? So I still argue that Dallas didn't play quite as well as an all-around player, and I think he would say the same thing. Devontae's the closest. He's probably more in the just plays like he always played. But if you force me, I'd say he wasn't quite as good as he typically is. So you're talking the whole offense and the quarterback, which did not play as well or efficiently. I think it, you know, the first 7-8 games, I think he was playing better, and then he kind of tailed off. From an efficiency standpoint. So that's tough to overcome, man, when everybody's going in a negative direction. And you can blame it all on Kevin Petullo if you want. But, yeah, I mean, Yeah, who said it? I thought it was great because I've been talking about this a lot because Todd Monken was, I don't know if you saw him talking yesterday, got introduced as the Browns head coach. And there was a lot of Jim Schwartz talk because Jim is obviously unhappy out there and wanted the job and probably should have gave it to him, to be honest, because he's been through it all there with that crappy organization. So I get that he's unhappy. And they were asking Todd, and he started off and he was very smart. He said, well, I don't feel I'm a position to talk about that right now. Something, and I'm paraphrasing. But then they kept pressing him, and then he kind of lost his cool a little bit from my perspective. And he was like, I have a lot of respect for Jim Schwartz. I would think he has a lot of respect for me. And then he went, and he said, when I played the Browns, I didn't scheme to chip Jim Schwartz. I schemed to chip Myles Garrett. What he's saying is, I'm worried about the fucking players, not the coaches. So I wish that would resonate with people. It will not. I get it. But Jim's not going out on the field. Myles Garrett is. And Jim's a great defensive coordinator. Love the guy. I always say, nobody's taught me more about defensive football than Jim Schwartz. Love the guy. Players, man. Players, players, players.
It's true, Jim. It's very true. No doubt about it. Good stuff there, John. Appreciate that little rundown right there. It's good to see, where this team is. There's a lot on the table here this offseason, John. At least it feels like there is, And I do wonder which way they're going to go here or how aggressive they will be. But there is a lot out there. So players first. John, what's your early – and it's way too early to say this, but you don't think the Eagles are going to have a big drop-off, do you? I mean, the only reason I say that this early is because A.J., Lane.
Well, I think if you lose those guys, there's the potential for that. But I don't expect – I think Lane is going to play. I still think that. I don't think he wants to end on that note, missing the final eight games. AJ is more, as I said, I don't, I'm 52-48. I don't think he'll be here, but I think the Eagles will try to talk him into running it back for one more season at least. So I'm more optimistic than not they'll have them both, but if you lose two players of that level, that would be very difficult. And if you lose Jalen Phillips, that would be very difficult to replace. You have these issues with the coaching staff, a little bit different inexperience again after talking about all anybody talked about was the inexperience, and now everybody's good with it. Even less experience. So you could see that going in a negative direction. You could see all the stuff around Vic retiring, potentially retiring. The same thing's going to happen. Everybody knows that this might be his last year. So you could see the path to having a shit show of a season. It's not going to be hard. I mentioned this yesterday for Jimmy Kempsky to do his dumpster fire series for the Eagles. Because, things, not everything is going to go bad. Not everything's going to go right. But so I think they're going to be fine. I don't think they're going to have a terrible season because, A, I think Lane's going to come back. And I don't know about AJ, but I think they'll get Jalen Phillips back, especially if Spot Rack's right. I mean, they're getting a bargain. So they'll be able to get that done. And they have, a bunch of projected draft picks, and they've done a pretty good job, I think. Boy, and I'm looking at Wikipedia, so I don't know if this is right, but I know they start at 23, and then they have 54, 68, and 98, potentially, which is the compensatory selection. So in theory, you're probably going to get four picks in the top 100. And, you know, you can find some valuable players in the top 100 if you do your job correctly.
We'll see. We'll see what they end up doing there. I do think offensive tackles on the menu, obviously, as everybody thinks. I think offensive tackle should be on the menu regardless of what Lane Johnson does, no?
Oh, yeah. Well, it has been for the past 2 years. They've been trying to get that done for years, man. It just hasn't worked out. You know, you have to like the player and he has to be there. And when you're picking as late as the Eagles have been picking, that's –
Tryon's not going to get a cut anymore, though. Like, they got to get an offensive lineman.
Well, you're at the mercy of other teams. Like, they wanted Fautanu a couple of years ago, and, you know, Pittsburgh drafted him two spots before him. Maybe they were trying to go up to get him, and maybe Pittsburgh didn't want to go to, you know, I mean, they wanted the player. I get like, just go up and get him. And they went up and got Jahad Campbell. Remember, they were trying to go up to 22 to get Jahad Campbell. So if somebody else was in there and wanted the player, you're screwed. But he ended up lasting all the way to 31. So, you know, if it's Caden Proctor, a lot of Caden Proctor hype so early in the process. But if he's the guy, you might have to go up to get him if you want to secure it. And he's somebody who could project to start out inside and move outside when you need to replace Lane Johnson, whatever it is. The draft is, unless you got the number one pick, nothing's guaranteed. Then you know you can take whoever you want at number one.
We'll see. How aggressive do you think Kyle will be this summer?
Well, go back. Is AJ gonna? Does AJ amenable playing here? Is Lane gonna play? I think that affects his aggression greatly. If they can make up with AJ, they're not gonna have all these cap ramifications, and they have more room to do stuff. So the in-house stuff will affect the outhouse stuff, the out-of-house stuff. So if they get Lane, he's not going to retire. If they get AJ back in the fold, convince him to play. If they re-sign Jalen Phillips, especially at the kind of deal Spot Rack is talking about, then I think they have the room to go out, not to be, you know, totally aggressive, but to get one or two potential difference-making players.
Going to be interesting to see what they end up doing.